We're back on In Focus, News Radio, KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, Dave Lewis over there, Karen Hibbard in here with me, CVB Director. Thanks for being here.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, yes. We're just chatting a little bit here. You know, today's my daughter's birthday, and we're talking about just life in general. And yeah, she's grown up really fast. She's 9 years old today.
Well, happy birthday to the entire family, but especially to your daughter. And birthdays are meant to be celebrated. Make a big deal out of that.
Absolutely.
I'm going to bring over a present a little bit later on.
She's going to join me up here, actually, in the next hour.
Is she?
Yeah, because the wife has to take the young one to the dentist today. So her first visit to the dentist. And so she wanted to not be bored.
There
so
you go.
She's going to come to work with me.
Does she like snakes?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I guess I got to go find a different gift.
Yeah, that would not be a good gift, Dave. Thanks.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Hey, I am just really excited and a little bit reflective on as we start 2020. The last 10 years have really gone quickly. And I just wanted to start us off with thinking about how quickly and how amazingly different our community looks than it did 10 years ago. I wanted to talk a little bit about, I always talk about how well our occupancy has performed and how well we are doing, and we'll get into that a little bit. But in 10 years ago, much has changed. When you think about what our community looked like then, and particularly in the Convention and Visitors Bureau's world, our mission is to attract visitors to Manhattan to help expand the local area economy. And certainly that hospitality industry has done that very, very well. 10 years ago, we added more hotels. We added the Hilton Garden Inn and the Manhattan Conference Center to our mix. With that, we also added the Bluemont Hotel, Candlewood Suites, and the Holiday Inn Express. And what that did, that really bolstered our meeting opportunities for Manhattan, really making Manhattan a meeting destination, also added to the mix of making sure that Manhattan now is the number one walkable meeting destination in Kansas. Whether you are meeting in downtown, in the Aggieville area, certainly you have that opportunity as once you finish with your meeting to get out, walk, explore, shop, dine, and enjoy Manhattan. Not only with our meeting opportunities, but also when I think about what are our attractions, how our attractions have been boosted during that time as well in the last 10 years. We've added the Flint Hills Discovery Center. It's a great educational opportunity for our visitors to understand the significance of the Flint Hills, but it's also a great venue that can be used for celebrations, can be used for meeting planners as they're looking to have an off-site meeting venue as well, really serves our downtown and our entire region very, very well. Also, this past year, we've also added another attraction with the Midwest Dream Car Museum. Again, that's at any time that we can encourage people to come visit, experience, learn, see something different, as well as then when we put our meeting hat on, the Midwest Dream Car Museum also offers that for an off-site meeting venue if you were wanting to have an off-site reception or have that opportunity to hold a small meeting there. You can do that as well. When we think about other off-site venues, certainly Prairie Wood, Liquid Art Winery, the community just really has changed, and I think Dave can address that. Certainly, Brandon, as you've called Manhattan home most recently, many of those things are what makes Manhattan attractive, not only for you to choose to come and live in, but also for you to come and for our visitors to come and experience and enjoy.
Yeah, and I can say we have some friends in the Kansas City area who like to go around the different wineries or breweries and kind of see the ones across the state. They came out here, I think, back in the springtime to visit the different ones. We went along with them, and that's always kind of a unique thing, the little breweries that each little town has. We have a couple of them here.
Yes, absolutely, and I think when you have that opportunity to enjoy one another's friendship and one another's company in a different setting, because again, a brewery, a winery, a restaurant, an attraction, each community has just a little bit different offerings in each one.
Yeah, and it's so great to see all the different, you know, the variety of things that we have available here in Manhattan. And I'm not sure what the restaurant makeup was 10 years ago, but there's so many options here for dining and shopping.
Absolutely, and that is something that makes Manhattan very unique. Certainly, we have a great balance of chain restaurants versus uniquely owned restaurants. And Manhattan has almost 60 unique restaurants in our community, and that's a great balance. You could probably share with me what your favorite is. I'm not asking you to do that, but certainly we each have probably a favorite unique place that we like to go. The difference between a unique and a chain restaurant, both of them offer great services, great food, great experiences, but one attracts the other. So you might be going to a national chain restaurant that is exactly, the menu is the same whether you're in Manhattan, Kansas, Lawrence, Wichita, Cincinnati, Ohio, but when you come to Manhattan and you experience something that is unique, that is a unique dining experience that you might have a great, you fill in the blank, whether it's a salad, appetizer, main meal, or a dessert that is unique. You'll think of that. Remember when you visited in Manhattan, Kansas, and you went to X restaurant? That makes us a desirable destination.
Well, and I always like, you know, when we ever get pizza, we love pizza in my family. If we're going to order in, we'll usually get it from one of the chain pizza places. But if we're going to go out to
yes.
eat pizza, there's a great little place downtown that we love to go to.
Absolutely. And we have a lot of good options with that. And I should have counted up. At one point in time, we did know how many different pizza places, chains and unique, that we had in Manhattan. It's a significant number. Sometime, if you wanted to do something creative, do a taste test. Have a pizza party that you can compare the different pizzas.
A pizza scavenger hunt.
A pizza scavenger hunt would be really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that include flatbreads? Breads,
because
Absolutely some places do
does.
Flatbreads, but
sure.
not pizzas. But
sure.
flatbreads really are pizzas.
They really are.
Just not necessarily round.
Yeah, they're not round, and maybe they're not as thick with that crust as I like to have it. So yeah.
Depends on how you like your crust.
That's right.
I think we should get like a cheese pizza, plain cheese pizza from all of the locally based chains. Not, you know, not Domino's, not Pizza Hut, but the local places. Do a taste test here.
You know, almost every time I try out a new restaurant, I go, there's one meal I go to.
Yes.
And that's a cheeseburger.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't do a cheeseburger right, I don't give them too much hope for doing anything else right.
Right.
If the cheeseburger's not good, good chance that the rest of it's not going to be filling in, you know, high on my list.
Certainly. Well, again, as we make our mouths water with the different kinds of pizza and what is it that you really test a restaurant on, think again, put that visitor hat on. That's what visitors are doing. And when we think about how we generate income for our local economy, it is that shopping and dining and lodging that really is that driving force for folks as they come to dine, come to shop, and then come to stay for a weekend or during the week for a meeting. So it's fun times.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, the conferences and having a good walkable area around there. Is that something that's common, not just in Manhattan, but just all over the state?
No, actually, Manhattan is, like I said, we have received that denotation of that notation of being the number one walkable destination in the state of Kansas. Let's use Wichita, for example. You can meet downtown in Wichita. They have great meeting facilities. But to get out from those facilities and walk to a dining destination or a shopping destination is not possible. Now, Wichita's a great place to go and visit. But to be able to get out and experience that like you can do in Manhattan, it's a little bit more of a challenge. Salina is another community that is really working on improving their downtown. If you've not been to Salina for a bit, their efforts on their redevelopment has been something that Salina and Kansans should be very proud of. But prior to their redevelopment, they didn't have what we had to offer. And so I think Manhattan has been a real champion for giving an example of what can be done when redevelopment happens, when you put a meeting venue and lodging close to your downtown because they see that vibrancy of success builds success. And with that comes those things that we've already talked about and those things that the visitor and the local want and need in order to have a vibrant community.
Yeah, we're speaking with Karen Hibbard here, CVB director here, Manhattan Area Convention and Visitors Bureau. What are some of your goals here for 2020?
Well, we're always looking forward to how do we continue to move the market. And I just wanted to give a shout out again as people are still putting up their Christmas decorations and maybe putting away that last celebratory horn that they honked to celebrate New Year's Eve. We've had a very successful holiday season. We had over 7,000 people there for the lighting of the Festival of Trees and the lighting of the tree there. Those activities through the month of December were successful. The ball drop in Aggieville had about 3,000 people there. And by the way, did you know we made Jeopardy, too, on New Year's Eve?
I heard that.
I did see that.
Yeah, I did, too. I thought that was really, really great.
And did anybody answer it correctly?
No, they did not.
Yeah, and seeing that, okay, now when people answer it, then we've arrived.
Then we've arrived, right. But at least we made, next year they'll know that answer. But I was pleased. It was a whole category on different states that celebrate the dropping of the ball. I think we were for $1,000, Alex.
Yeah, my mom actually is the one that told me that. We were talking on the phone the other day. She said, did you know you were on Jeopardy? Manhattan was on Jeopardy the other day? Like,
yeah.
No,
yeah,
really?
That was pretty cool. First day hike, Tuttle Creek State Park had 400 participants that came out, that people came out to enjoy the beautiful weather as well as the great outdoors. And I think that is something that when we look at goals, things that we're looking forward to celebrating this next year, that is, Manhattan has really been prime for outdoor activities, ways for people to get out and enjoy, whether it's hiking, running, viewing of birds, enjoying the great outdoors. Manhattan has really put themselves on the map. Weather, hopefully, will be a little bit more kind to us this year, although we were very appreciative of the moisture. That's not something that happens every year. But to be able to paddle on the Kaw River is something that will continue to grow and improve. And that we can talk about that next year or next month about some of the improvements that are slated to be made. But again, events with the Bill Snyder Half Marathon, the Little Apple Kaw, the Little Apple Paddle that will happen later this summer. Those activities we look forward to giving the visitor that more opportunities to come and enjoy, participate, exercise, and to experience the beauty that Manhattan has to offer.
All right. Karen, anything else here on your list?
You know, I just wanted to, again, say that we are continuing to move the mark. Certainly, as we looked at 2019 conferences, we held 227 conferences that the Convention and Visitors Bureau worked directly with. That represented about 44,000 people that came into town for 2019 conferences, which was about an $18 million revenue that was generated from those folks spending money when they came into town. For 2020, the Convention and Visitors Bureau is already working with 85 conferences that will be coming into our community. That represents a little over 11,000 attendees with that. And again, those conferences ebb and flow. We estimate that those folks will spend close to $20 million if they spend like we anticipate their dollars to be spent. So again, we look forward to different conferences that will be here next year. Actually, this March, we will be hosting for the second time young business-minded attendees that will be coming in. They'll be meeting at the Student Union. This conference had been held in the Kansas City area in a partnership with Kansas State University in the community of Manhattan. We'll be welcoming about 1,000 young high school students that will have that opportunity to be meeting and competing on the K-State campus, and considering that's a great opportunity for them to consider Kansas State as their school of choice as they participate in DECA's competition. And then last but not least, when we look at our STAR report, and that STAR report shows and tells us how well our hotels are performing, we've moved the mark On that Monday through Wednesday occupancy. And again, when those conferences are air in town, that's what we are ever moving forward. And on Mondays, we've averaged a 60% occupancy on Mondays. On Tuesdays, we're almost at a 68% occupancy for the year. And on Wednesdays, we were a 66% occupancy. And so we're very pleased with that, because to move that mark, as we know, there are a lot of activities that take place on weekends, and we still have room to bring more people into our community. But to see that continue to tick up, that Monday through Wednesday activity, is something that we're very proud of.
Karen, what's in store for the Manhattan Conference Center with the expansion there?
Sure. If you drive by the Conference Center, and we encourage you to do that, go on 4th Street. You'll see that the fencing is up and the construction of that has begun. We anticipate that that should be complete by late October, 1st of November. I know Brad and Angela and the entire staff there at the Conference Center and the Hilton Garden Inn are a little anxious, because there are some, anytime you remodel or add on in this space, think about your own home when you're doing improvements. That always means that somebody is inconvenienced just a little. So for those folks that are meeting there, there'll be a little bit of inconvenience for a bit, but Brad and his team will do a great job of making sure that those conferences that are being held there are being well taken care of. So we look forward to that being in place. They'll have that space, and boy, I didn't write that down, but I believe that we'll be adding about 12,000 additional square feet in meeting space.
And that's basically two more.
Yes. Ballrooms.
Ballroom, basically.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. One that could be, you'll have a floating wall in between.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So, and it can expand all the way out. So for those that maybe see better visually, that conference center is going to come clear out to the sidewalk.
Almost to the sidewalk.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, the walkway in between, or the that's currently there, that's on the current west side
yes.
of that, that's being retained, is that correct? And then the two new ballrooms will be on the west of it?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And because we're on radio, we can't show people those plans. But
well, that's why I'm trying to give it, you know, some sense of, you know, directions here.
Right. Right.
So when you go into that that north-south hallway there,
right.
Just off the north parking lot, when you go down that, those two new conference room areas will be to the right of that. That
correct.
Ball, that walkway will still be retained.
Correct. And right now, as we're under construction, if you are a user of the parking garage and you come into the parking garage and then are using the west door to get into the conference center, that has been closed during this time. So you need to go to the east entrance into the parking garage in order to get into the conference center.
And one of the things, if I, you know, if I'm Stan, if I'm corrected here, that was kind of in the original design.
Yes.
That it would have the opportunity to expand.
Yes.
At some point, but the monies just weren't there. And, you know, the significant amount of return that we've seen with conferences has allowed this opportunity for growth.
Absolutely, it has. And again, the conference center, certainly with where it is located at, adds to that. But we also have great meeting facilities across the community. So our staff, our goal is always to work with a meeting planner to help show them where the best place is for their meeting of size to fit. So again, the expansion at the conference center will allow two meetings to happen at the same time, or you could have one larger meeting that could take place more easily. There's a lot of moving pieces. When we should bring in a meeting planner at some point in time and visit with a planner of all of the challenges that you might have as you host a meeting and plan for breakouts, large general sessions, dining, how do you have a banquet, how do you make sure that you have a boardroom for your board to meet, all of those moving pieces in Manhattan, in the conference center, as well as our other meeting facilities, really present Manhattan very well for a good, solid meeting to be held here in our community.
Is there still the potential for expansion on the number of sleeping rooms to the north there, the hotel side of it?
Yes, the Hilton Garden Inn also will be adding 40 more sleeping rooms to the their room inventory as well. So, and those rooms will be on the north side as well.
And that's going on right now as well?
It's my understanding that the conference center goes first, and then the rooms will be added.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be exciting.
Yeah. It's a great time for Manhattan, again, to continue to grow, and then for those of us that attract meeting planners. One of the things that we're doing, Brandon, to get back to your question, one of the things that we are doing this year is we've got 3 meeting planner events that we are taking Manhattan to those meeting planners. In the first quarter, we will be going into the Kansas City. Actually, we're going to be meeting on the K-State Olathe campus that we will be showcasing the Olathe campus to our meeting planners, but enticing them with what Manhattan's offerings are for those meeting planners in the Kansas City area. So we look forward to doing that. We also will be going later in the year into Omaha as well as to Wichita so that planners can come visit with us and we can answer questions that they might have, showing them what our offerings are, introducing them to some of our partners, whether they be lodging, dining, some of those alternate activities that can take place. We'll be taking Manhattan to the meeting planners. So we're really looking forward to that. And we really are grateful for those that serve on our steering committee, as well as those entities that are such an important part to make Manhattan a great place to meet and visit and live in. So thanks to all.
All right. VisitManhattanKS.org is the website if you want to learn more about what's coming up here in the community. Karen Hibbard, thank you so much.
It's always a pleasure to be here, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. And we'll continue in focus after this on K-Man.
You know, are we going to be caught talking about our top 10 stories of 2020?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll do that real quick.
Yeah. Karen probably knows which one of them. One of them is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll be back with more of InFocus, just a few minutes remaining on the program here at News Radio KMAN.